So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
Here's the front page of the Victoria Advocate, May 14th, 1959. That's Dwight Eisenhower on the front page. And my story has nothing at all to do with Ike. We liked Ike, but my story has nothing to do with Ike. As is so often the story, the best story is beneath the fold. My story is about snakes, many snakes, and mostly poisonous snakes. But first, a bit of a background. I grew up in Victoria, Texas, in a house that sat on the floodplain of the Guadalupe River. We lived very near to the old Victoria with the antebellum mansions, which still stand today. And if you went a few blocks in another direction, you would find yourself on Main Street. It was a very vital Main Street at that time. Downtown Victoria was vital in the 1950s. There were four movie houses, there were two banks, there was the U.S. Post Office, and if you had 50 cents jangling around in your pocket that you were burning to spend, you could get a really great banana split at the soda fountain at the Woolworth. If you went about a third of a mile west, you would encounter the Guadalupe River, and it was there that it would make a grand 90-degree turn as it defined the limits of the city, wherever it flowed. A couple of times a year, it would overflow, and the floodwaters would begin to encroach more and more onto our neighborhood. After all, we were on the floodplain. Ahead of the waters were wild animals. There were mammals, there were reptiles, there were snakes of every make and model. My brothers and I really saw things through kids' eyes. We didn't think about this being possibly something that was tragic in any way. In fact, we thought that this was way cool. Within a couple of hours, the neighborhood, which had normally been high and dry, was lakefront property. And within another couple of hours, the floodwaters had come up to the steps in front of our house, and sometimes even up to the very top step. My parents, of course, regarded this as a natural disaster, but my brothers and I thought that this was, some kind of a paradise that we were seeing recreated in front of our own eyes. For right out there where it used to be our front yard, we had our very own swimming pool. Our house on Craig Street seemed to sit right at the edge of civilization, or so it seemed. We were, after all, the only house. There was not another house between ours and the Guadalupe River. Next door were Earlene and her husband, Otto. He was a burly blacksmith. And it was from Otto that my brothers and I learned to fear the cottonmouth water moccasin. Otto and my father were fishing buddies, and they would often tell the story about going down to run their trot lines at midnight on the Guadalupe. And there's nothing spookier than a river bottom at midnight. But they would go down there, and as their boat was drifting along the shore, they went underneath some overhanging limbs, and Otto looked up just in time to see a cottonmouth water moccasin dangling from one of the limbs, about to drop into the boat. This is not uncommon for water moccasins to do that. They're well known for that particular behavior. Well, Otto, without really thinking about the danger he was putting himself in, grabbed the snake by the tail and flung it into the Guadalupe River as far as he could. Now, it was stories like this, whether they were true or false, that got the attention of me and my two brothers. We came to have a bit of respect for those snakes that were around us. We never knew where we might encounter them next. Can we go out and play? That was a common question that we would ask of our mother, and she would always say yes. She never really took the time to wonder, now, where are they going to go whenever they go out to play? And thankfully, neither she nor my father ever put two and two together to realize that the innocent question, can we go out and play, was really code for, we're going to go down to the river and play. They didn't know that that was where we were going after we left the house. The shortest way to the river was on Constitution Street. It was about a couple of blocks down, and Constitution would begin to curve, and then it would dead end at a place that was called Pleasure Island. It was not really an island. It was connected by a land bridge to the mainland, and I don't know about the pleasure part of it, but on either side of the land bridge were deep bayous, and they were normally dry, but whenever the river would flood, they would fill with water, and then as the floodwaters would recede after a few days, they would be left with oftentimes a medium-sized or a large pond that was cut off from the main channel of the river. In these ponds would be trapped sometimes hundreds of small fish that did not manage to get back into the river in time. I was about 10 years old when my brothers, 8 and 6 respectively, began exploring the more accessible of the bayous by way of a narrow dirt pathway that would go down to the sometime pond left at the bottom. Every time we would go down, most often barefoot, we would see alongside the path snakes. And there were almost always 2 snakes. They were big cottonmouth water moccasins, and sometimes even more. Well, whenever we would see them, fools that we were, we kept walking. We would quicken our step just a little bit, but we would keep walking. And thankfully, the snakes recognized our innocence and allowed us free travel, free passage. After we went on doing this for quite a number of years, going down, and we would always see the snakes. They would always be watching us. And we knew that these snakes had a reputation of being very aggressive. They had a reputation of being very poisonous. And yet, we were still kids. We didn't really realize what kind of a risk we might be putting ourselves in. Until one day, we read in the early morning newspaper in May of 1959, we read an article on the front page, saw a column in the front page with a headline which just jumped out and surprised us. It was, if you have telescopic vision, you can see, "Police win battle with snakes." And my father saw this as a little bit of a teaching opportunity. And as we sat around the breakfast table, he began reading the article aloud. "Without a doubt, city policeman John Goldman is not interested in seeing a snake, any kind of snake, at any time in the near future." My brothers and I halfway listened, perhaps yawned. "Goldman used a shotgun to kill what must have been an entire family of cottonmouth water moccasins swimming in a bayou near the end of West Constitution." We sat upright, leaning in. My dad now had our attention. He continued reading. "Patrolman Goldman picked off about 15 of the serpents, then ran out of shells. He was returning from his snake hunt when he spotted what he later described as a 36-inch long snake lying in the road. Goldman said he tried to pin the serpent's head down with the butt of the gun, but the snake spun around and aimed a pair of fangs at the policeman." My brothers and I now were fully engaged. We were wide-eyed. We looked at each other, and we knowingly acknowledged we knew this snake. "Goldman said he tried to club the serpent, but missed, breaking the shotgun stock in half. The snake, evidently seeing he was fighting a losing battle, tried for a fast getaway. He didn't make it. Reported Goldman, I killed it with a blow from behind." So what's my takeaway 60 years later? Well, first, a great deal of satisfaction in that after many years, I was finally able to track down this newspaper article on the internet. Because for years I would tell this story and no one would believe it. But right now, it's right here. Anyone can come up here and examine it if you like. But more than that, the takeaway is the importance of taking risks. Eleanor Roosevelt was only one of many who recognized that when she said, "Do one thing every day that scares you." Well, this is my thing for this day. Thank you for listening to my story.